Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Everybody, welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today, as promised, we have we have quite a few bonus episodes that we promised, and that's because we're taking a little bit of a break, but we did not want to halt the train, right? Train's got to keep rolling. So, as promised, for at least one of those content pieces, we want to take a look at some of the Red Wings prospects so far. So we'll take a look at, some of the guys that I hope you're keeping an eye on. Some of the names will be super familiar. We'll be taking a look at guys who are talked about all the time on the show, but we'll highlight a couple of things that could at least maybe be evidence that they're on their way in the next couple of years, and could be something that turned into a couple little void fillers, right? As the Red Wings continue to decide if they're going to be dominant or struggle for most of this season, it is apparent either way that there are quite a few holes that need to be filled. So how many of these guys have the potential to fill one of the several holes? So we'll take a peek. Everybody, strap in. We'll try and go through this as efficiently as possible, and I hope you guys enjoy. It's probably worth it to start the conversation with the Grand Rapids Griffins. I think the more we look at that team, the fewer and fewer names pop out as potential future Red Wings, especially when there's a Joe Valeno not on it. And it's also worth mentioning that as a podcast, we decided that Taro Hirose, who's knocking it out of the park this year with 13 points in 11 games, is somebody that we mentioned is a career Grand Rapids Griffin, or for his career going forward will be in the AHL as long as he's in North America. So I think the least worth noting that he is doing this well so far, and that there's probably some potential that Hirose will get some more time in the NHL, and it's not really dependent on how great he does in the AHL to say that he'll do or keep a job in the NHL. I think it's just more or less evidence that he will get another shot eventually. If you take a look at Hirose's career with the AHL and with the Grand Rapids Griffins, he's been sniffing that point per game pace so far since he's been playing down there. But it's once he does get to the NHL, the only season that seemed to really pop for him was that first opportunity, 10 games. He had 7 points, one goal and 6 assists. But in that regard, I still think we have more important names to talk about, but it is absolutely worth noting that Hirose's going off again in the AHL, probably going to get another shot before this season wraps up with the Wingdings. Well, in 2018, our big pick in the NHL draft was Filip Zadina, but we may have snuck one away from the rest of the NHL franchises in round two with Jonathan Berggren. He is 5'11", 21 years old at this point. It is worth noting that we mentioned he was stolen away from the rest of the NHL franchises because it was 45 points in 49 games in the SHL last year. And that is something that made it a no-brainer for him to head on over to North America. But so far, where we made the argument that he needed to start in the AHL to get used to this North American game, so far, not that it's come extremely easy, but sniffing a point-per-game pace with 8 points in 11 games is exactly the direction you want to see his play go. So for Jonathan Berggren, this is another conversation about will the NHL time happen this year? I think there's a great possibility. He'll definitely be in the conversation when the time comes and guys are moved at the trade deadline or if injuries arise. If injuries start to pile up, which you got to remember, the Red Wings have been relatively healthy when it comes to this team from a percentage standpoint. But once, I should say, if the injuries start to pile up, as they do for many different franchises, Bergeron's going to be a part of that conversation. And I think at least he's played well enough to get a fair shot. All right, the last Griffin I want to mention is going to be Donovan Zabrango, somebody that we brought up in the preseason or before the season started, only because everybody had been talking about Zabrango, his leadership style, his desire to get better after every game, and making it a point to say that Zabrango goes to the coaches himself to figure out what he can do to improve. I absolutely fell in love with those sentiments, and it's something where if the kid has the talent and that desire to continue to improve, and also, hell, he humbles himself and says, I know I'm not at my best right now. How can I be better? That's the kind of attitude I think, you know, is going to breed success in the future. It's one of those things for Zabrango that there isn't a lot to point to right now from production. But I think from a character standpoint, you just can't deny that he's going to add a lot to this franchise, whether it's just being somebody in the AHL or getting that shot in the NHL, which absolutely I think will happen. And I think that starts with another conversation where Scott Wheeler has Zabrango pegged for the Canadian junior team. Now, Scott has him down in the third pairing, but he did say that he wants him on this team for a little bit of added extra toughness. And he's even willing to forego, you know, some of the different options that would be available to Canada. But think about to actually make it onto the junior team for Canada, it has to be incredibly difficult. I mean, this is who should be the favorite in every junior tournament from the get-go. But Zabrango making this tournament says a lot. And you do see there's another face on there in Sebastian Cosa, who we can get into later. But for Zabrango, I think it's something where the Red Wings made him the first prospect from the 2020 draft to sign an entry-level contract. And that's not anything to scoff at. Like, that is impressive. That is something where the Red Wings said either, you know, A, we think you being close to us is going to help you to develop faster, or B, you're just standing out further. But either way, that says that there's a level of importance being shown to this prospect of Donovan Zabrango based on what they've seen. And again, I think that does come back to the character of Zabrango, and I think he'll continue to get chances because of that. And I think right now the best way to sum up what he's done so far is that the Red Wings absolutely do not regret having him sign that ELC and throwing that contract out there. This is something for him that he's done enough so far, storyline-wise and narrative-wise, to impress me. So that next step for us to really dive into what can Zabrango do is once we get a full season out of him, to go back and judge this defensive, tough defenseman, judge on what he's been able to do. And as he put it himself, he's a hybrid of old-school hockey and new school in regards to moving the puck and how he defends. So we'll see if that is has been successful, and we'll be happy to see where that goes. Last guy I want to talk about is actually playing in the ECHL right now with the Toledo Walleye. But while I was bouncing around all these stats to figure out who I wanted to bring up in this conversation, I was pretty impressed with where Caden's sitting right now. And this is Caden Fulcher of the Detroit Red Wings, 23-year-old, 6'3" goaltender. I should probably throw out there too, 209 pounds on top of that 6'3" frame. But right now, through six games, he's in the top 10 across the entire ECHL. And the two most important statistics that they're tracking on elite prospects, which would be goals against average and save percentage. While I wish we had a few more advanced analytics to dissect here, you just can't ignore the fact that Caden is actually moving up in regards to all of his save percentages across his career. And this is actually the best he's performed, even when taking a look at the OHL and how he performed there. And it's good to see a guy like Caden Fulcher, who couldn't stick with the Griffins and does get sent down to the Toledo Walleye, But now getting that opportunity with the Walleye is really pulling off some of the best goaltending he's had, or at least produced his entire career. So it's at least worth noting. And obviously this could be considered some of the lowest level of competition Fulcher has faced so far. But let's put it this way. Things could be worse. And one of the few things, or one of the staples on the show, is we always like to bring up that point that if he had been brought down to Toledo and things had gone the other way, of course we'd be saying about Mr. Fulcher right now, well, not looking great. But gets sent down there, turning in again some of the best stats he's turned in his entire career at any level of playing as a goaltender. So I give him high marks for that, and I can't wait to see him again playing for the Griffins to see if what he's learned in Toledo will continue. Probably the best performance we've had so far from any of our goaltending prospects. Well, the competition level, again, a little bit further down the scale, is our 2021 first-round draft pick, Sebastian Coso, the 6'6", 209-pound goaltender who is 18 right now. And as we scroll down here, playing with the Edmonton Oil Kings in the WHL, of course, playing as one of the best goaltenders in the WHL, turning in amazing statistics last year with a 941 save percentage and 1.57 goals against average. We know that Sebastian Coso has already been turning in player of the week nods, goaltender of the month nods in the WHL for the Oil Kings. And so far this season, he is 9-3-3 with a 928 save percentage and 210 goals against average in his 15 games played so far. So this is something for Coso is kind of a little bit different for Fulcher. Coso's just been playing at this level at every different league and level he's played at through his hockey career. So for Coso, this is all just thumbs up. This is us just going, all right, so far, we nailed it with the first round pick. I don't think in any way this speeds up his journey to the NHL. I think we're probably still 3 to 5 years away. And that's pretty normal for goaltending. I mean, look at some of the other goaltending prospects the Red Wings have had in their pool and have never seen an AHL game, let alone an NHL game. So it's just one of those things we're going to hold tight here, but this is nice to see that there was no step backwards. But if anything, we're just one step closer to seeing him probably put on a Griffins jersey first, and then that red one with that winged wheel. So we're going to jump on over to the NCAA to talk about Robert Mastrosimone. This is he's played center and left wing, but our 20-year-old 2019 second-round draft pick, 54th overall. You can see from McKean's hockey, he's the type of player who has a nonstop motor and plays a fearless brand of hockey, something that was similar with the likes of Donovan Sobrenko. He's quick and accurate release on a shot and is an expert at using toe drags to get around defenders. It's exciting to read. But so far with Boston University, and this is his third year, Mastrosimone's with Boston University, he's just been increasing that point pace, about half a point per game in 2019-20 with 17 points in 34 games, then going 8 points in 15 games the next season. And so far through 12 games, 5 goals, 5 assists, that's 10 points. He's also, you know, as much as we all hate the plus minus, this is all we have to go by right now. He's also a +3. So while he's been a negative the last couple of seasons in 19-20 and 2021, despite being a meager -1, he's now a +3. So it is at least as the load of work for Mastrosimone continues to increase, so too does the production and the two-way side of his game. Well, our next stop takes us over to the University of Denver, where Annie Tuomisto, Shai Bouyum, and Carter Mazur are making their stops right now. Mazur and Bouyum, both 2021 draft picks, and Tuomisto coming in at 2019. 3 points in 9 games for Tuomisto. Bouyum, in his first season with the University of Denver, 4 points in 10 games, and Carter Mazur, 7 points in 10 games. Good to see that everybody's sticking in the lineup. But most importantly, I think here, or probably the most impressive for the University of Denver, is Ben Bouyum, who's been racking up the minutes as well. So as you continue to find maybe a new team to follow, or you just want something to do with the NCAA, the University of Denver right now is turning into the Frölunda of the NCAA. So it's good to see our boys who are not only the youngest ones coming in 2021, but
also our 6'5" 2019 draft pick, Tua Misto, doing pretty well too.
I'd point out as well, he's a plus 10. And as I always complain here with elite prospects, we're always limited with stats here. But we'll play the game. This could obviously have gone the other way for Tua Misto, but clearly he's been put in these situations that he's been racking up minutes himself. And when he is out there, he's not hurting this team, and he's bringing more offense than he is giving up, despite how much the statistic of plus minus is flawed. We'll at least applaud Tua Misto here for being at the top of his own team.
This wouldn't be a prospect update or a trip through the NCAA if we didn't mention Redmond Savage, who is also a brand new Red Wing prospect. He was our fourth round pick, 114th overall. So far with the Miami University, 5 points, 10 games. He is a -3, but again, we don't have too much to go on here. Just remember, he's always going to be a problem for opponents on the forecheck. He's an absolute beast on the penalty kill. So that's what you want to see, and unfortunately tough to track, but that's what we're going to be keeping an eye out for as he continues to progress. He has refined his offensive game, showing the ability to beat defenders with some slick dangling and stick handling moves. And you got to believe that a part of that is some of the setup that's allowed him to rack up 5 assists through only 10 games so far in his first go around in the NCAA. But I'd say so far all thumbs up, as you can pick through all of these NCAA prospects so far for the Red Wings and find something to be happy about or something to give a thumbs up on. And I'd say we just got to get through the rest of the season, make sure everything's progressing at the same pace. And we'll have a few more NCAA guys that we can throw on into the AHL. Mike, can you believe it? DraftKings is recognizing our favorite sport. We do a podcast about hockey, and we are finally able to discuss the fact that they're an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Let's go, right?
That's what I'm ready to say. Matt, I've had enough talking about the other sports. It's time for a big boy sport. The NHL! That's National Hockey League. That season is underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an unofficial sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice, nay, the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper, or a slapper, maybe, or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win.
What if it's some nasty sauce? All right,
An empty netter? Still counts on the stat sheet, my man. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before we get into our six suites, as we take our trip over to Europe, let's take a peek at Emil Vero, the third round pick for the Detroit Red Wings, number 70 overall. He's 19 right now, from Finland. And it's something for me, at least. He has been labeled as a defensive defenseman, but we did see some pretty slick moves dating back to the World Juniors last year, as we saw Vero really being a key cog and a key piece in Finland moving as far as they did. Now, so far in Liga, he's got 3 points in 18 games in the 2021-22 season, and 1.7 games, that's one goal, going along with his international play for Finland in the U20. So, for Emil Vero, this is somebody who does have some offensive skills that, again, as I just mentioned, we're showing off a little bit in the juniors. But this is somebody for Detroit that they can kind of look to as hopefully filling one of those voids on the left side of the defense eventually. I'm going to go ahead and guess, and I don't think I'm taking too far of a leap here, that Vero is going to be following along footsteps of some of the other recent draft picks for the Detroit Red Wings and going from Europe on over to the AHL next season. Of course, I'll have some decision in that, but I think it'll be good for his development to start moving now. And with the Red Wings having so many voids on the left side of the defense, and of course, with so many potential trades coming up at the deadline for the left side of the defense, it'll be something where they might be moving guys up from Grand Rapids, and even that roster is going to be need to fill to be filled out. So with that, Emil is not getting that only for those reasons. I think he's had a very impressive stint so far over in Europe, and it's just for us, I think there just happens to be the cherry on top. It's going to fill some holes for us. All right, so as we hop on over to Sweden, we'll start the conversation with Theodor Niederbach. Teddy, if I may. He's a 19-year-old center, right wing, the 2020 second-round pick, number 51 overall, from the from Frölunda, of course. We actually went back-to-back from Frölunda in the 2020 draft, if everybody remembers. Now, so far, Niederbach's had a pretty crazy story, because when he's playing for Frölunda in the J20, 35 points, 19 games last season. But he's moved up to the head club, and in 19 games, it is 2 goals and 2 assists. So the transition hasn't necessarily been super smooth, but it is something at least, you know, you can look back a season in his 20 games, he had 3 goals and 2 assists. So it at least has been consistent, and he hasn't taken a drop off. And as we just mentioned, a 2020 draft pick. So, of course, what does that make him? That makes him 19. A lot of room for growth here for Teddy. And I think it's just good that he's getting to play in the SHL on the head club for Frölunda. And he's getting some opportunities to play in the best league in Sweden, and probably top three league for any non-North American league in the world. So this is all thumbs up for Theodore, Teddy, and I think it's still something that he should be on the top of your list, definitely on the top of your radar for what's going on in the Red Wings prospect pool. So we continue to run down the Swedish list. Let's talk about the guy that Häkan Andersson was apparently slamming his hand on the table saying, you better draft this guy. It's Liam Dower-Nielsen. He is 2021 round 5 pick for the Red Wings. Funny enough, ranked 76th on Elite Prospects, even though we took him in round 5. 18 years old right now, the 6-foot center for us, left-handed shot. So far for Liam, it has been almost as impressive as what Theodor Niederbach was doing in the J20 for Frölunda. But so far it's been 17 points in 14 games for Liam. And it got him that opportunity with the SHL. So far, 0 points in 7 games in those opportunities. But it's something for me. I mean, you're talking about an 18-year-old kid getting that shot in the men's league. And again, one of the top leagues in the world. So he's getting those opportunities because he's impressed to that length of the 17 points in 14 games to where it looks like he needs to take that step up and get a real test. And that's where you start to look at these kids and go, okay, well, there's, you know, put the star over his name because he's making those strides that are above where the rest of his age group is. So that's where you get the thumbs up. And again, the point total, the 17 points in 14 games so far for the J20, nothing to sneeze at either, as I love to say. So, of course, it's super early. I don't even care about those 0 points in 7 games. What I care about is how excited Häkan Andersson was for him. And you got to believe that these scouts are doing this all day, every day. This is what they live and breathe and eat, is just looking at NHL prospects or hockey prospects. And for somebody to be so excited as Häkan Andersson was, and of course, some of that probably has to do with the level to which he was graded in regards to Liam Dower-Nielsen, and being able to pick him up in the 5th round is an absolute steal, is where my head's at right now. So, again, another huge name to look out for. But when you talk about, like, Niederbach, Liam, I think you're looking at guys that if they're going to be making it to the NHL, I mean, even at the earliest of making it over to North America, I'm probably thinking 2 years down the line from now, definitely not next season. In 3 years, don't be shocked. Skirmit the Frog said, moving right along, Albert Johansson. He's our 2019 second round pick, number 60 overall, 6 foot defenseman, left side shot. He is 20 years old right now. And what you always hear about Johansson is that he's ready. He's going to be ready next season is kind of what I've been hearing since this podcast started. And while I don't I don't mention that to scoff at how he's played in the SHL, I just hope that we're not still saying that next season, because from what I've seen is a very well developed so far defenseman with a tremendous two way game. I mean, if we take a look at the last couple of seasons, a half point per game for a defenseman, all thumbs up. Seriously, all around, fantastic. We're not looking for the huge point totals here to only get a guy moved over. But what you're also seeing is a guy who's tops in the league for expected goals and expected goals against. So this is a guy who's playing a great game, whether or not you want to look at the production or you want to look at what he's able to prevent. And it was last season. Again, I don't have these numbers in regards to the expected goals, but when we take a look at what Elite Prospects has, he has a plus 15 last year. He's a minus 6 right now, but it's still early in the season. You're talking about the difference of about a third of the season played and 44 games played last year in the SHL. You can see that he's always been a positive player in these international tournaments, but in the World Junior U20s, the 3 points in 5 games is definitely something to be impressed with. And it's something along the lines, too, that he's carrying the same production along with him as he moves from his own league that he's playing in and moving over to the World Juniors. So if you want to consider one side because it's the talent level gets that kick up because you're talking about an international tournament, he's still playing fantastic. And then when you talk about him playing in the SHL, the men's league, again, that production is still right there. So there's a lot of room for improvement for Albert, but I think it's time that he gets that opportunity to develop in North America. All right, the next guy on the list is who I was smashing the table for. It's William Wallander. Love the name, but our 2020 second round pick, number 32 overall. He's 19 right now, 6'4". It goes along the lines of where Steve Yzerman's been picking up these guys for height. And, of course, for some pretty wild skill that would turn them into a what's called a unicorn prospect. We'll talk about last year's unicorn prospect, of course, being so unique and a little bit of magic thrown in there. Wallander could also get that crown, as noted by Scott Wheeler in his article from nearly a year ago. But just how many of the skills that Wallander had were set to go, and some of the things that still need to be developed are some of the things that normally come equipped in a regular NHL prospect. And then they work on the things that Wallander's got good to go. So it's one of those things that's almost a reverse development, but you hope that because so many other prospects develop in the opposite direction, that'll actually be easier to do because it's some of the more basic things. So we talk about what he's been able to do. He has been progressing as the season has moved along from a production standpoint. And he's playing in the same league that, of course, our boy Moritz Seider played in, the same team playing in the SHL. Rogel, 8 points in 16 games played so far for Wallander. But when you take a look at what he's been able to do so far this season, in his first 5 games, Wallander only had the 1 assist, but you could see as he started to get more familiar, I mean, they just started rolling in. There's 2 assists, 1 assist, 1 goal in 3 straight games. I had another bit of a drought here, but once he got to this point of October 21st, you're talking points almost every other night. And that rolled him right into the international tournament where he does at least have 1 goal so far. But for Wallander, like we mentioned, probably the next important step is after a year, again, I think he stays in the SHL. I don't think he's coming over next year. But that next season, when they the Red Wings coaches and team get a chance to start developing, again, what was termed as the usual things that have already been developed in a player. If they can get a chance to get their hands on Wallander, I think they can start to take advantage of some of the more unique aspects of Wallander's game that he already brings to the ice. He towers over the competition, standing 6'4", weighing 194 pounds. Plenty of room for him to fill out that frame. He might be the most technically skilled skater among all defensemen in this draft. He's a great puck carrier, eager to lead his team up the ice, and with a great deal of initiative and creating offensive zone chances. So what you're looking at there is a guy with a lot of confidence to already be moving and creating plays. But that's where we get back into getting some of the more basic things set up and solidified. So if you've already got those things good to go in regards to setting up offense, creating offense, that's a unique prospect. That's something that you can bank on. But of course, the Red Wings have a couple other prospects I think we're even more excited to talk about. Now, I have kind of ranked these guys, so if you've been watching this and kind of keeping along and waiting to hear your favorite name, you know who number one is now. But Elmer Soderblom is number two on my list, 6'8". 238-pound Soderblom. I love watching this guy score because when you get to see all the little kids he's playing with, come up and give him a big hug. It's an absolute joy. But of course, I mentioned little kids, but Soderblom's having a lot of success in the SHL right now. With something you could see dating back to the 18-19 season with Frölunda. I mean, 17 points in 44 games in the J20. And the next season, it's 55 points in 36 games. He's just way too big for anybody to handle. He was just dominating. But then 2021, he played four games. And they're like, no, you're good. You're in the SHL, bud. 5 points in 28 games in the SHL as he starts to get his feet underneath him. But so far in the 2021-22 campaign, 11 points, 8 goals, and 3 assists in 19 games. Now, this is something, too, we just talked about Wallander starting to pick things up from a production standpoint. But we've already got a couple of point streaks in the mix here for Soderblom. And with his slow start as well, we just talked about 11 points. Or I'm sorry, let me get that right. 11 points in 19 games. I mean, he started the season with only one goal in his first 5 games. So you can take those both away and you cut this down to 14 games and 10 points. This is looking a lot juicier. But one of the things I absolutely love about this is that he's become a guy that Frölunda has to have on the ice. And what I'm talking about, if you can see it on the screen here, is you want to bring your eyes all the way over to the right-hand side. And for anybody listening to the podcast, I do apologize, but it's his ice time. Look at these games dating back to November 9th and then going, and I'm sorry, I'm reading the European dates. September 11th, and then going all the way to November 6th was the last SHL game recorded on Elite Prospects here. He went from 7 minutes and 54 seconds to now the last couple of games, 19 minutes. 19 minutes and 16 seconds, 19 minutes and 50 seconds in the last couple of games for Frölunda. This, to me, is where it's at. This is where you're seeing a guy taking steps forward, where that ice time is starting to increase, where it's not just something where you put him on the ice because you think he has the ability to score, but you can keep him on the ice because he's not going to hurt you defensively. Now, when you go up and down this list, you can see it's kind of been +2, -1, +1, -1 here and there. So it's not anything where it's been too consistent from the regard of saying he's bringing more offense to the table and not giving up too much on defense. But when the coaches are increasing that ice time, you don't really need to look at that plus minus anymore. It's obvious that he's bringing more to the ice than he's actually taking away. So that, to me, is the most important thing I think you're going to grab from this entire podcast recording. But we still have one more name to go over, and it's really just about thinking, is it going to be fun to watch this prospect next season? And of course, I'm talking about Simon Edvinson. He was our first round pick this year, number 6 overall, of course. 6'5", 207 pounds. He's 18 years old. This is a cat who is your defensive defenseman according to all of the draft rankings. But, you know, you got to watch this kid play because he's everything. He is what Scott Wheeler said was the 2021 draft unicorn prospect because he is so unique. He has that big size and he knows how to move like he's a little guy. And he's a defenseman at that. It is so incredibly unique for the Red Wings to have a prospect of this size with the ability to move like he does. He's got 9 points so far in 16 games in the SHL, 1 goal, 8 assists. And if we take a look at those scoring statistics, as we've done with everybody else here, a couple of points, actually. He's playing in the international tournaments, 2 assists so far in that tourney. But this is another one, though, where unlike some of the other names we talked about in Wallander and Soderblom, where they slowly got their scoring started, Edmondson has been going hot since game one. And again, for the lack of the ability here to track these guys appropriately through some expected goal statistics, we can at least say he's a +7 so far. And you can watch these numbers while they do dink and dunk between plus ones and minuses. When you're +7 so far, I mean, he's finishing off the last couple of games here as a +3 with 2 assists. This is 2 games before he headed on over to the international tournament. But it's more or less just, I'm throwing out all these numbers here, but this is really important for us all to kind of digest how consistent Edmondson has been so far and how impressive it really is to have a guy at his age playing in a men's league dominate the way he has. And I can actually come back here to Scott Wheeler's picks. And this is more about this is Scott Wheeler's picks for the junior tournament. It's more about what he's seen and what he's impressed by, because you do see Niederbach slotted in the 2C spot for Team Sweden, Dauer Nilsson in the 3C spot. But when you take a look at this defense, you've got Edmondson leading the way, Wallander on the second pairing. And it's really just turning into this game of these guys are going to be in your tournaments anytime that Sweden's involved. And it's just because you can't keep these guys away. But what's more important, too, is as we continue to figure out what the Red Wings are and what they'll be turning into over the next few years, I think we know that we have a top pairing right side defenseman. But what you've got right now and what we've discussed, Simon Edmondson, William Wallander, a couple of left side defensemen. And then the other important part here that that we've been discussing with Niederbach, Nilsson, and Elmer Soderblom, who's not a part of that because of his age, but those are all centers. Those are guys we're trying to bring over and fill all of these voids from the center perspective, from the left side defense perspective. And it's good to see that while the Red Wings have nailed it so far with who look like to be our two top Calder candidates this year in the NHL, and Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond, and they're bringing in these other prospects, which so far, so good. They look really good. But they're also filling all of these holes that we keep discussing as future problems for the Red Wings. Sure. We can slot in Dylan Larkin as a 1C. We can say he's playing so good this year. Darn it. All right, we were wrong. He is a 1C. We're not looking to replace him anytime soon. But then you look down the road. Is there a future 2, 3, and even 4C? It's tough to put a finger on one. Not anybody has really stood out to say they're absolutely grabbing this role for years to come. And if you think you've seen that, you're nuts. But, and I'm not saying these guys are filling those voids, but we do have the options, right? You got to hope that one of these guys is a hit from the center perspective. And then from the left side defense perspective, you're either looking at next season, an opportunity to see Edmondson over in North America, which I think you will, or you're seeing an opportunity to have your first line filled out with either a super dominant side of things with Moritz Seider, and maybe Simon Edmondson is, maybe they can learn together. But what's more important is I think Edmondson looks so good and Moritz Seider looks so good. I think they do need some veteran leadership to help them learn how this game works. But you could have, finally, 2 defensive pairs on this team that are reliable. And to think again that we've been talking about these draft picks, we've been talking about the Iser plan, and you know what we failed, I think, to pat Iserman on the back for this whole time is that he's in the middle of all of this filling in holes. It's something where the right prospects are being kept in, and the right ones are being drafted and groomed in the right direction too. So I think the best way to sum all this up, besides talking about the guys like Edvinson, I think we'll see in North America next year, like the Niederbox and the Nilsons that are probably still 3 years, two at best, down the line. And then, of course, the Soderblums, who could probably use another year, and we might see him in 2 years. But just sum all these conversations up and who's going to be here when. It's just important to recognize that all of these names are doing fantastic where they are. And we're not having these conversations about hopefully they start stepping stuff up. Guys are doing where they're supposed to, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. They're playing at the level they're supposed to be playing. And again, we're trying to build a prospect pool that's actually filling holes that you could point to on this team right now and say these are legitimate holes that need to be filled. So none of this stuff is necessarily breaking news, but this does work as a fantastic update, especially as we roll into December here. And I hope you guys did at least learn a little bit about some of these prospects. And I hope you enjoyed the conversation here. If you guys could subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast. If you could do us biggest favor on Apple Podcasts, the subscribe, rate, and review is the absolute best thing you can do for us. And it'll get us noticed by other Red Wings fans, and we can start to put out more content. And as I mentioned, considering this is one of our bonus episodes while we're taking a bit of a break, we do look forward to seeing you guys once December rolls around, and we'll get back into those live episodes so we can start talking Red Wings hockey again. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a good one.